Amen. Good to see everyone in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the worship. The young people leading in the service. And we're going to get started here in a moment to preach the word. I know this is always the intent, and so this is seemingly rhetorical, but I mean it more than rhetorical tonight. I believe if we'll hear what God would have us learn from his word tonight, it'll be a real help in our Christian experience. I just believe God wants to talk to us about some things. If you'd go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3 this evening. And as you're turning this Friday night at 6:30 is youth night. Sorry, younger ones. It's youth night. Brother Brian will tell youth after service what to bring. And then Saturday at 6 is Sidewalk Sunday School. And this summer is flying by, is it not? It really is. If you're cold tonight, you can come sit on the platform. It's about 15 degrees warmer up here. So, Philippians chapter 3. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, I want to read these verses. I'm not going to exposit them tonight, but I want to read them for us to see afresh Paul's attitude. Paul's attitude. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You ever met a Christian that they act like they'd already arrived? They were already there? I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those sayings which are behind and reaching forth unto those sayings which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Won't you notice he said, forgetting those sayings which are behind and reaching forth unto those sayings which are before. Notice the tense he doesn't mention here. The present tense. I know we got to live in the moment, but what Paul is saying here, he's saying, I refuse to live in the past. I just refuse to live in the past. I refuse to settle for how things are right now in the present, because I know that God has more for me on ahead. I won't live in the past. I won't settle for the present, because God's got more for me in the future. I want to preach tonight on the spiritual slump. I'm not going to open a series, but I may, because there's the spiritual hump. And there's some other umps. There's always some spiritual umps, believe me. You'll think on that. We better pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you do speak to us. You do give us instruction. You do perfect our lives. I pray the Holy Spirit would be involved in what is said tonight. And Lord, that truly folks would be helped. Lord, those that are here, those that will hear the sermon later, Lord, that would be a help to their spiritual life and endeavor. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We use this terminology, a slump. And just real simple definition, a slump is a marked or sustained decline. Instead of things progressing, they're just stuck or they're going backwards. That's a slump. In sports, it's a period of poor or losing play. You can think of some of the teams around here. A period of poor or losing play. It's a slump. It's a downward slide. Now, something you hear this time of year is a summer slump. Heard that terminology lately? In the business realm, a summer slump is when sales are down. It's not just in the business realm, in the athletic realm, especially in baseball, you'll hear the terminology, they're in a summer slump. In other words, they just can't seem to win a game for anything. Summer slump. Finances, athletic. It's in the academic field. Teachers will talk about the summer slump because it seems like in the summer, the students lose a lot of what they learned the year before. That's why the first weeks of a new school year are spent in review, because of the academic summer slump. Even churches talk about a summer slump. In the summer, attendance is down and fervor and passion is low. I would like to say parenthetical that I'm grateful that most summers we don't have much of a summer slump. And I know as far as the services are concerned, God's been moving, so I'm thankful for that. You know, some churches talk about the summer slump. In fact, I've heard of churches lately said, well, you know, so many people are gone, we'll just shut down Sunday night for the summer, or we'll shut down Wednesday night because of the summer slump. You know, I've never understood the concept of taking a vacation from church. Or vacation from serving God. I even think Christians go to church on vacation. It's just something we do. There should be no summer slump. There's summer slump. And by the way, just maybe I shouldn't put this in here, but there's also the Sunday morning slump. You ever seen that? Anyone ever seen a summer morning? Sunday morning slump? Okay, I should have left that out. I may have the Wednesday night slump. I don't know. But as certainly as there's all these slumps in life that we've mentioned, there's also the spiritual slump. The spiritual slump. And you know, here's the strange thing. Hear me, young people, because I'm thinking specifically of you right here. The interesting thing about a spiritual slump is it usually happens right after a spiritual high. It'll happen right after youth camp, right after a revival service, right after Camp Dove. Well, what is a spiritual slump? Well, for the individual Christian, a spiritual slump is when that Christian goes through a period, he says or she says, I feel nothing. I just don't feel anything. I go to church, I don't feel anything. My Christian life seems to be going nowhere. I'm certainly not making any progress. I don't experience any growth in my life. In fact, not only do I not seem to be going forward, I seem to be sliding backwards. Now, let's get something straight about a spiritual slump. It's not really based in reality. A spiritual slump is about 90% based in our emotions, in our feelings. One feels stuck in a rut. One begins to feel like it doesn't pay to serve God. It's not worth the battle, the temptation. One feels like nothing's going on spiritually in their life or in the church. One feels no passion in worship, no zeal, no interest. In fact, I hear it put this way. Christians will say, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. I don't think I've accomplished anything. I don't think I've made any progress. And so this period of decline and a slowdown and a reversal sets in. Now here's the danger. It's in this period of spiritual slump that many, many Christians lose their spiritual life and walk with God. It's during these spiritual slumps that many Christians find themselves outside the family of God, the ark of safety, and back in the world and back into the ways of sin. And so these spiritual slumps are dangerous. But Brother O'Hare, not only do individual Christians have spiritual slumps, churches go through spiritual slumps. How many of you saints that's been around a while, you can say, the best of churches go through spiritual slumps. They're there. And when this church goes through a spiritual slump, that's when the enemy gets in. That's when disunity begins to happen. That's when people slip away. And so this is a very dangerous thing, a spiritual slump. That's why we're talking about tonight. Why is there a spiritual slump? Now, there's lots of reasons, I know. But I want to give you just a few of them. First of all is weariness. Weariness. People just get tired. Tired of the battle. Tired of the cares of life. Tired of the struggle. You can even get tired of the same old, same old, same old every day till you're out of it for a while and then you wish you could have the same old, same old. You ever notice that? But you get tired of the routine, the monotony. You get tired of dealing with the same problems in your life. Even Elizabeth alluded to that a little bit, dealing with the same thing. How many's ever been worn out with the battle? Just weary with the battle. Weary with the battle. But I'll tell you something else. You can even be weary after the victory. I mean, this is really for a preacher's meeting. Did you know that a preacher, one of the times he's most vulnerable to the enemy is right after he's preached and experienced the anointing and touch of God? Because he's weary in body and mind. What did Paul say? He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Why did Paul tell us that? For the simple reason, Brother Norvell, we get weary in well-doing. And so one cause of a slump is just weariness. Another cause of a spiritual slump is weight. I think of these we requested prayer for tonight. Their names have already been mentioned, so I'll mention them again. I'm thinking of Marna. I'm thinking of Jody Flynn. I mean, just one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. I mean, they're bearing a weight. They're bearing a burden, a constant burden. And to bear a constant burden makes a person feel stuck. Makes them feel like they can't hold on. They're losing ground. Weariness is a reason for a slump. Worry. Worry. Worry will cause you to go into slump. How many knows that worry will just paralyze you, keep you from moving forward? How many has found that you just can't worry and worship at the same time? If you're not worshiping, you're in a slump. You can't worry and pray at the same time. If you're not praying, you're in a slump. Amen. You can't feel what you need to feel. Worry is a cause. Worry is a cause for a spiritual slump. And then there's weakening. Weakening. We all go through this, but many times we don't keep the zeal we had at one time. We don't keep the passion. Our commitment begins to weaken. Our desire begins to weaken. Our motivation for serving God begins to weaken. And if we'll just be truthful, that happens. And that's why we get in that slump. The fire's not there anymore. That's why I like the psalmist. He said, he will light my candle. I'm glad God not only lights, but he reignites too, if we'll let him. But sometimes it feels like the flame is flickering or about to go out. It's weakening. Another cause for a slump is it's just the way of life. Now, I'll tell you what. A great service is wonderful. It's tremendous. But you could not maintain that level of spiritual high and exist in life. It's not possible. That's why many times after a tremendous move of God in the church, the next morning you wake up and it's one of the worst Mondays you've ever been. It's just the way of life. Life has its cycles. There's ups, there's downs, there's ebb, there's flow, there's wet, there's dry. Life has its cycles. It's not always a mountaintop experience. I don't like it that way. How many knows that life has its cycles? You know, as disturbed as we are, now I know we've had a little rain the last few days, but as disturbed as we are about the drought, we all know it's going to rain again. We all know the grass is going to be green again. But we understand there's cycles to life, and it's in that cycle that we get in that slump. I've been talking to several people lately, but I was talking to someone just recently about, you know, the concern was, why can I always feel what I feel in the altar? And I don't know necessarily who it was, but a married couple walked by, and I said, this is an older person, I said, look at that married couple right there. Do you think that every morning of their marriage, they wake up and just feel waves of love for each other, just artesian out of their innermost being? Oh, honey, you're so beautiful this morning. How many married couples would say that every day, constantly, from the waking moments through the day to the time you lay your head down the pillow, you just feel this overwhelming sense of love for your spouse? Mike Durst and Brad and my wife. Well, my wife, it's understandable. The other two, I have to question. If people, and I'm talking about church people because the world does, but if church folks treated their marriage like they treat their relationship with Christ, nobody would stay married. We understand that. We understand it's just the way of life, the cycles. You get through that. Now, I'm glad you stayed with me and you're not thoroughly discouraged, because now we're going to talk about how to overcome that spiritual slump. How to overcome that spiritual slump. I want you to listen to me. These are just practical things, but these will get you through it. Number one, remain steady. How many times does the Bible say, hold fast, continue, be steadfast, be unmovable? I can't tell you in different contexts the times I heard our pastor, Brother Branham, say, folks, hold steady. Hold steady now. I'm telling you, when your life is in this slump, when you don't feel the presence of God, when you don't feel passion, when you don't, just remain steady. Just remain steady. Don't make any drastic changes. Don't let up. Keep on going. You know, here's the thing that happens when people get in a slump. They make drastic changes. When you're down, when you're depressed, when you feel cold, when you feel dry, that is not the time to be making spiritual decisions. Don't leave a church when you feel dry and cold and unappreciated. You'll make the wrong decision. Don't give up serving Christ when you don't feel passion and you haven't felt the presence of God. You're going to make the wrong decision. Just remain steady. Remain steady. Refuse to change your direction. Refuse to give up your convictions. Refuse to let go of your commitments. You've heard it said before, never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. Don't discard those convictions that God gave you when you felt His presence so real, just because now you're at a time when God seems a million miles away. That's not a time to discard anything. It's a time to get a firmer grip. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Remain steady. Don't do anything drastic. You say amen? How to get out of the spiritual slump. Number two, review your life for something wrong, some sin, some neglect, some wrong attitude, some wrong desire. Now let me tell you this. Every time you're in a spiritual slump, it does not mean that you've sinned or you have one of these problems. But sometimes, let's just all admit it, the reason we lack spiritual fervor is because there's just something wrong. Okay, I'm preaching to the wrong folks. We're the bunch that never sins after we get saved, right? How many knows that's true, though? Sometimes we feel a spiritual slump, we blame God. We blame others. We blame events that have happened. We blame circumstances. We say, that's the reason I have a lack of spiritual fervor and energy. But all along, if we would look, if we would review our life, it might just be that there's something wrong with our life. Amen. How about those weights and sins that so do easily beset us? You feel in a slump, you don't feel like running the race with weights and sins. Isn't it a wonderful thing, though, when you just review your life and the Holy Spirit's so gracious? He's not mean, He's gracious. And He shows you, He says, this is it. If you weren't watching this, if you weren't listening to this, if you weren't going here, if you weren't talking about this subject, if you didn't have this attitude, if you weren't treating this one that way, then you might not be feeling that spiritual slump. And you get that thing taken care of, and all of a sudden you're surprised at how much passion you feel again for the Lord. How to get out of the spiritual slump? Realize this is a common expected experience of man. I refuse to lie to folks from the gospel. I know there's mega churches built and ministries built on the doctrine that if you will serve God and live for God, you'll have no problems. Your income will steadily increase. You'll keep upgrading your automobile. You'll never be sick. You'll always feel joy unspeakable and full of glory. But I'm going to tell you, they are lying to you. My wife likes to claim I'm a pessimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm just a realist. You know, how many's ever heard that? You know, had a someone filled a glass, you know, the water line was partway between the brim and the bottom, and the pessimist walked in and he said, well, it's half empty. And the optimist looked at it and said, it's half full. You've heard that, right? I was always the realist. You know, it needs some more water poured in is what it needs. But one man was asked that. He said, well, look at that glass of water. They was trying to determine, are you a pessimist or are you an optimist? Look at that glass of water. What is it, half full or half empty? And the man walked over and just took the glass and drank it. They said, why'd you do that for? He said, because you presented me a problem, and I'm a problem solver. Now it's neither. We got to realize that this is a common expected experience of man. I don't like it. You don't like it. But it's the way life is. Now, before you get too depressed, ever heard of a man named Elijah? And by the way, this also emphasizes what I already told you. It was after Elijah's greatest victory. He called fire from heaven. He prayed, and it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And at his prayer, it started raining. He ran so fast, he outran the chariots of the king with the power of God upon him. But he got to the bottom of the mountain, and Jezebel sent word, I'm going to kill you. And in the next act, the next scene, Elijah's crawled up underneath the tree saying, God, just kill me. I don't want to live any longer. How many's ever read that story? Would you say that Elijah had hit a spiritual slump? What about John the Baptist? Jesus' testimony, there was never a man born of woman outside of Christ himself that was greater than John the Baptist. But he got thrown in prison for preaching the truth. And in prison, he began to doubt his own assertion that Jesus was the Christ. And he said, are you really the Christ, or should we look for another? John the Baptist. It's the expected experience of life. What about John Mark? In the middle of a missionary journey, he got homesick and discouraged and went home to mama. It happens. It's a common expected experience. And to get through the slump, you just need to realize that. And then to get through the slump, resolve to keep doing the right things. Have you ever noticed some people when they hit a bad part or bad place in their life, they start making decisions that just increase the bad thing? You ever notice that? Look, if you're in a slump, just keep doing the right things. You may not feel like praying. It's right to pray, so go ahead and pray. You may not feel like reading your Bible. It's right to read your Bible. Go ahead and read it. You may not feel like going to church on a Wednesday night. You're here, so you'll give the tape to someone or the CD. You may not feel like going to church on a Wednesday night, but it's the right thing to do, so you just come. I'm telling you, if you're in a slump, one of the things that will get you out of it is just keep doing the right things. And by all means, just keep living right. How do you get out of the spiritual slump? Refuse to blame and shift responsibility. If my kids would do right, I wouldn't be feeling so spiritually dry. If my spouse would just get things right, I'd be doing better spiritually. If the preacher would preach better, if this one had said that, or that one hadn't done this, then I'd be doing... Look, if you went out of the spiritual slump, just refuse to blame or shift responsibility. If you went out of the spiritual slump, remember there is the other side of through. A choir sang that. I had it on my MP3 player. I listened to it about 100 times before I even understood what their words were saying. That's what they were saying, the other side of through. I want you to know there is the other side of through. It's hard sometimes to realize it. But if you'll do those things that previously have been mentioned, you will come through that spiritual slump. There's the other side of this place. There's the other side of this dryness. There's the other side of this difficulty. There's the other side of this temptation. There's the other side of this trial. Hallelujah. How many can believe with God we will get through it? Another song said something like, I'm not in a valley. I'm just changing mountaintops. So if we just learn to look at it that way. Hey, it may be a slump, but we don't know what all God has on the other side of it. How many's been through a whole week that was a slump? I mean, everything went wrong and bad, and you felt a million miles away from God, and you got in the house of God on a Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, God couldn't be any more real. Jesus couldn't be any more dear. The Spirit of God couldn't be any more precious. I'm telling you, there is the other side of this thing. Remember, there's another side. And then next, refresh your soul through prayer. Refresh your soul through prayer. I've done marriage counseling quite a bit this summer, and every time I sit down and try to really cover the bases, I think what Brother Clendenin said. He said, my marriage counseling is simply this. I just look at him and tell him, won't you pray through and use mouthwash? He said, that's the totality of my counseling to him. And you know, sometimes we do get it a little bit complex. But I want to tell you tonight, when you're down, when you're in these dead spots, these dry spots, there is simply no substitute for getting alone somewhere where you won't be bothered and just pouring out your heart to God and crying out to God and seeking the Lord and praying and worshiping. Amen. There's no substitute. It'll refresh your soul. Amen. You may get up and nothing appears changed, but you get up and your soul will be refreshed. How many still believes prayer will do that? I want to say again, refresh your soul through prayer. Then, if you want to get through the slump, revisit the promises of God. We'll be opening the series on Sunday morning, Lord willing. But I'm telling you, when you're in a slump, you need to get back to the promises of God. You may feel like the devil's about to get the best of you, but a promise says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Doesn't that do something to you? It does me every time I hear it. I'm in a slump, but now unto him who's able to keep me from falling. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be ever able to bear it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, if you're in a slump, revisit the promises of God. I know that you know them, but revisit them. Amen. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And then, if you want to come through the slump, reach out for something new. Now, by new, I don't mean this. You know, again, let me use the illustration of marriage. The spark has gone out of the marriage, and I say, you know, do something new. I'm not talking about a new spouse. I'm not talking about a new job, a new lifestyle, but a new way, a new approach. For instance, I'm not saying if you're in a spiritual slump, you need to try another religion or you need to do that. That's not what I mean by new. What I mean by new, it's something you're not doing right now that would be new to you. And maybe you don't go. These are just suggestions out of the air. Maybe you don't go, and you could go to Tuesday morning prayer meeting here at church. You're in a spiritual slump, do something new. Go to that Tuesday morning prayer meeting. Read a missionary biography. I think Brother Heath would agree with me. When you're feeling a spiritual slump, sometimes if you'll read the biography of these people, these men and women touched by God, amen, just do something new, something you're not doing. I've already told you, keep on doing the right that you're doing, but something new. Maybe you're used to listening to talk radio as you drive around in the car. Turn it off, or turn it to a preacher, or turn it to a singing, but reach out for something new. Witness to somebody. Amen. Reach out to a neighbor. It's in reaching out to do something new that'll bring you through the slump. Amen. And last of all, you can add to the list, though it's already quite lengthy, if you want to come through the slump, return to your first works. Return to your first works. Jesus told the church at Ephesus, he said, there's no problem with your doctrine. There's no problem with your church attendance. There's no problem with any of those things. He said, but what has happened is you've left your first love. And then Jesus said to them, you've lost that first zeal. He said, repent and do the first works. Amen. I've talked in marriage before to a couple, and they said, well, you know, the passion's just gone out of our marriage, the love. What should we do? And I've told them, begin to treat your spouse like you did when you were first dating. It's amazing how our emotions will follow our actions. Some of you can't remember back that far, but I'm sure she can refresh your memory how you used to treat her. How many believes if we did that? You know, just think of how that is. I've seen people get saved, and for 6 months, they were in the prayer meeting or the prayer room every night before church. Somebody really get touched by God and they're in the altar over and over again. And I just want to encourage you, if you're in a slump, return to your first works. I want to close this way. You've heard me say many times, one of the most precious portions of Scripture is found in Psalms 23 when the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul. I want you to believe that if you're in a slump. We serve a shepherd. We serve a Savior who will restore our soul. Have you ever needed your soul restored? Amen. You see, if my soul needs to be restored, that means it's been ill-used. That means it's been worn out. It's been depleted. It's been dry. Amen. If I need my soul restored, that means I'm in a slump. But thank God, I've got the promise that He will restore my soul. I got to thinking a little bit about that prior to saying He'll restore my soul. The Psalm 23 said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. My thought was this. The only reason that meant anything to the psalmist, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, is because that psalmist had been to some brown pastures, some dried out pastures, some desert land. If the only thing that psalmist had have known all his life was green pastures, it would not be a remarkable thing to say, he leadeth me, or he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The only reason it was significant is because that psalmist had spent some time in some burned out, dry, brown pastures. You ever been there? Aren't you glad he can make us to lie down in green pastures? And then he said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The only reason it's significant to the psalmist that he would lead him to still waters is because he had been to some rough waters. Some roaring waters, some troubled waters, but it means something that the psalmist would lead him to the still waters. Would you come, music, tonight? Would you question with me or wonder with me tonight how many Christians have quit during a spiritual slump? I'm not asking you to think of faces or names, but would you not agree there's been many, many Christians that quit in a time of a spiritual slump? They quit and they never realized they could have got through it. They never realized what was on the other side, the spiritual victories. I keep using the analogy of marriage counseling, but one of the things I tell the young couples is we just don't use that D word. Because once you bring it in the conversation, you make that an option. But in reference to our Christian experience, we should never use the Q word. There's no quitting. I may be in a slump, but I'm not quitting. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. And I'm going to press forward to those things which are above, ahead. I want you to know tonight, maybe you're not now, maybe this is for when you get there, but if you're in a spiritual slump, I want you to know something tonight. You can get through this. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. Oh, hallelujah. Don't we serve a great God? And it don't have to be 10 weeks from now on a Wednesday night in this altar. For you, you can come through the spiritual slump. You say, Pastor Hurst, you missed a million miles. I have never felt better spiritually. Thank God, I'm glad for you. And I hope it lasts and lasts and lasts. But I know the reality of life. There is a slump coming. And when it does, do the things we've shared tonight and say, I'm going to come through this to the victory and the will of God on the other side. Would you stand across the building? Let's just worship Him a bit. Lots been said about worship tonight. Let's just worship Him. Would you lift your heart? You say, but I feel dry, Pastor. Go ahead, just lift your hands and heart anyway. But I don't feel anything. That's okay. He's worthy of praise whether we feel something or not. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? He's worthy of praise whether we feel anything. It's not based on our feelings. It's based on the reality of what He's told us, what He's done, and what He's going to do. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm not going to make it so personal as to give an altar call for those that are in a spiritual slump. But I would like to open these altars to everyone tonight that would like to take the Word of God to heart and pray that God would make it a part of your life and your living, what's been shared tonight. You want to forget those things which are behind and press forward to those things which are before. Would you come and fill these altars and say, God, make your Word real to my life and my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you're in a spiritual slump, come tonight as the church comes and take the things to heart. Revisit the promises of God. Refuse to blame other people. Just keep doing the right things. Remain steady.
I've learned to trust in God.
Remember, there's an other side of through.
Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His
word. I'm telling you, if you want to make it, you're going to make it. If you want to come through, you'll come through. Don't go on your emotions. Go on, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord.